as you read that parable, there are two things that are consistent, two things that do not change. There is one sower, there is one seed, and yet as that seed is sown, there are four different results. Now, if you've got a good sower, which of course the sower is God, the seed is the Word of God, and yet there are four different results. What is the one thing that determines the fruitfulness of the seed? The ground, the soil. All four soils were different. And because of that, the harvest was very different. Now, in context, what is that talking about? What event in our lives? Salvation. All right, dealing with salvation. But the simple matter of fact is true, folks, that even in the Christian life, once you become a believer, you still have the Word. We all have the same Word. It's unchanging. And yet, in some of our lives, it's very fruitful, and in other lives, it's not fruitful. Now, is the problem the book? No. Is the problem your wife? Now, be careful, man. The problem is the soil. And the simple matter of fact is, you can be a believer, and in fact, you can have been saved for many, many years, and you can read this book, and it mean nothing to you if your heart is not right. And this morning, good morning. Hey, Lou. How we doing, buddy? Good. Good to see you this morning. Is it Carolyn? That's all right. Great to see you. Good. All righty. I may need some of that after a while. Keep a little spare there for me. Dude. Now, last week as we started studying the Word of God, we saw six different things or truths about the Word of God. We saw that the Bible is true. We saw that the Word of God can give victory, that it is powerful. We saw that the Word of God will help you to grow. It'll give you guidance. All of these things we talked about last week. But you know what? You may be a believer and have none of those things happening in your life. You may not be growing. You may not be having victory. You may not be having happiness or joy in your life, even though you may be reading the Word of God. Now, why is that? Well, as we study James chapter 1 today and next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to see that for you to properly receive the Word of God, there must be some things that are true in your life. Now, we're going to start this morning in James chapter 1, verse 17, so that we can establish the context, and then we'll really make the application once we get into verse 19. So, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So in verse 17 and 18, we see the revelation of the truth. Now, where did the truth come from? It's in the verse 17, by the way. God, who is called the Father of lights. What does that mean? Now, I don't know. I'm sure I've thought of this at some point. When my wife and I were dating in college, we memorized the book of... Well, she memorized the book of James. I memorized most of the book of James. And we said that phrase over and over. What does it mean that he is the Father of lights? Specifically spoke what into existence? Light. The stars. I was out last night. At 8 o'clock, I looked up and the moon was shining and the stars were brilliant last night. And I thought, wow, God is the Father of lights. He is the Creator of all things. So when we talk about the Father of lights, folks, remember, this is the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, by the way, how could God create light? Well, because He is light. God is light. God is true. Here He is, the God who made light Himself. He says, all right, He's going to give us something here. It says, notice His character. And it cometh down to the Father of lights, with whom is no, you probably don't use this word a whole lot, unless you're an engineer or something, variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now here's the character of the one who gave us this book, folks. There is no variableness. There is no change. Aren't you glad that God does not change? What if 50 years ago we had a God, and now today we have a God who has changed, and 50 years from now, he's going to be different than he is now, we'd be in real trouble, wouldn't we? We have a God, folks, who is unchanging. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And notice that phrase. There's not even a shadow of turning. What does a shadow do? Well, a shadow magnifies action. If you're standing here, and we may even do this here this morning. Careful, Lou, I may smack you here. Here I'm standing, and you maybe see my shadow. My shadow is about 12 feet long. I'd be a great ball player, my shadow would be. And if I move my hand a little bit, the shadow moves it a whole lot more, doesn't it? And he says, with God, there's not even a shadow of turning. This is the character of our God. Now look what God did. It says in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Now notice verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. All right, now here's this God, this creator, this mighty being, and what did he do? What did he give us? The word of truth, which is the word of God. Now why did he do that? Did he look down through time and say, there's Moses. Moses is going to be a fine guy. He is so good, I'm going to give him my word. No, in fact, nothing personal. It's true of all of us. It's the exact opposite. God in his mercy and his grace saw fit to give us his word through inspiration. What an amazing process. That over 40 men, over 1,500 years, God worked and moved through his Holy Spirit. And holy men of God spake, they were moved by the Spirit of God, and they wrote down the word of God. And then, by the way, if it was only inspired, which occurred a couple thousand years ago, that wouldn't be enough, would it? No, God had to preserve his word for us today. And folks, we talked about this some last Sunday, but when you hold this book, you're holding the word of God, the truth that God has given to us. Now, why did God give us this book? All right, it's right here in the passage. Don't guess. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Why? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You say, what does that mean? Well, I think what it means is this. The word of God is here to change you, to make you a new... Now, there's a different word, kind of like creatures. A new what? Creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation, all things are passed away, all things are becoming new. Why did God give us this book? So we could go around and say, well, Richard, I know this Bible, I know the truth, brother. I know people like that, don't you? By the way, they're usually Calvinists. They have all the answers. They've got it all figured out. Aren't they blessed? That's not why God gave us this book. He gave us this book, folks, to give us life and to give us spiritual life and to change us and to make us like him. Did you realize that before you got saved, you were dead spiritually? And we don't like that. We want to be able to do something. I was speaking with someone this week whose daughter has gotten engaged to a Mormon, and we were talking about the Mormon religion. But the crux of the Mormon religion, folks, is the same as every other cult, and that is works. There's something I can do. I've got news for you. Look, before you got saved, what could you do to get saved? Nothing. Nothing. You're dead. You're dead. And this book was given, folks, to give us spiritual life and to change us and make us new creatures. It's interesting. How did you get born again? Being born again, not of corruptible seed. There's the word. What is the seed? The word of God. But of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So this is our context. Now it's important to remember the context. Okay? The word of God was implanted in your heart. It brought forth fruit. It had good soil. And you became a child of God. Alright. So there's the revelation. Now, here's where I want to spend our time. The reception of truth, verse 19. Wherefore? Now, when you see wherefore, what's the question? What's it there for? Alright. Wherefore? He's attaching what we're going to read now to those previous verses. Okay, you got the context? God gave us the truth, the word of truth, God's word. Gave it so we could become new creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, when we read that passage, usually it is a wife quoting it to her husband. Husband, the Bible says, be Be quick to hear. Be quick, right? Listen up, boy! Now, obviously, that is taught in the Word of God. In Proverbs, he says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. He also says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. There's some good counsel there. But is that what this verse is teaching in the context? You help me here. All right? I can see you're thinking this morning. You guys are sharp today. We know the context. Now, when it says, all right, wherefore, I want you to be quick or swift to hear. What does he mean? What's he talking about? Hear the Word of God. That's exactly right. Be ready, be swift to hear, be ready to hear the Word of God. Look, the first thing you need, folks, to properly receive the truth, and here we're going to see it in this whole verse, is a submissive spirit. A submissive spirit. And part of that is being eager to hear the Word of God. Now, look, this is the duty of the believers. Now, how do unbelievers respond to the Word of God? Well, they throw it off. They're like the hard soil, aren't they? And I've got a neighbor like this, and I witnessed to him, and I witnessed to him, and I witnessed, I just talked to him last week, and it didn't faze him. We were doing some electrical work, and I said, now remember that outlet's hot. And he put his screwdriver in there to try to straighten the outlet, and sure enough, boom! I said, I tried to tell you. And he said, well, you know, I'm trying to tell him to make me smarter. I said, well, hey, if you get saved, bro, you can get saved when this kind of thing happens. You'll be all right. And he said, well, it won't make me any smarter. I said, well, that's not your need, you know. Just like water off a duck's back, you know. I don't understand it. Well, why is that, folks? Now, by the way, before you got saved, before the Holy Spirit of God worked in your heart, same thing. Yeah, you heard the Word and you said, huh? Okay? So, we understand that about believers, but unbelievers, but what about a believer? Let me ask you a question. As a believer, are you desirous to hear the Word of God? Are you quick to hear? Are you eager to hear the Word of God? Now, we mentioned 1 Samuel 2:2 last week. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You ever seen a baby that's hungry? By the way, how many of you ever had to teach your baby that milk was a good thing? Now, I guess if some of you had problem children or something, maybe, I don't know. You don't have to teach them that, do you? Like, when you got saved, did you want to read God's Word? Were you eager to read God's Word? Sure, that's natural. When you get born again, you immediately have a hunger for the things of God. And just like that little baby. And that baby you can't be constrained. It's got to have the milk. It's got to have the milk. And it's going to cry and it's going to fuss and it's confused until it gets it. You know what? That should be the picture of a normal believer. Just so excited. Now, look. When you realize that it's Sunday morning again, and it's time to go to Sunday school and church, are you excited about hearing the Word of God? Or is it, now I know who your teacher is, and I understand that, but I mean, at least church, you know. Or is it, oh man, we've got to go sit under that preaching and teaching again. I get so tired of them reading the Bible all the time. Now look, folks. If as a believer, as a confessed believer, if you don't have a hunger for God's Word, something's wrong. Either you're not a believer, you're not a child of God, or you have let sin creep in and let other things fill your appetite that shouldn't be there. But if you're here today and you have no eagerness to read God's Word, but you're dragging yourself to church every Sunday, and even in your devotion, well, you know, if I don't read it, they're going to make me feel guilty. So, and I just read it out of duty, and there's no eagerness. There's something wrong, folks. And God's revelation will never change you if you don't have an eagerness to hear God's Word. Swift to hear. One man said, it is possible to be unfailingly regular in Bible reading, but achieve no more than to have moved the bookmark forward. This is reading unrelated to an intent of spirit. The Word is read and not heard. What a great way to say it. He said, look, God has given us the revelation of the word of truth. And if it's going to help you, if it's going to change you into the new creature, you need to be eager to hear the word of God. Now, I know we're flesh. No, we're all flesh. You know, we understand our failings. But folks, we need to get an eagerness, a hunger for the word of God. And if you don't, God's word's not going to help you. This is the test of reality of real faith, folks. Are you quick to learn? Swift to hear the word of God? All right, let's move to the second one. The submissive spirit in being swift to hear. Secondly, slow to speak. Now again, there's a general way that we've used these verses. My dad used to say, remember to engage your brain before you put your mouth in gear. Well, that's pretty good too. I wish I'd learned that lesson. And we use that in a general sense, you know, think before you speak and, you know, be quiet. No, you know, you just need to listen. But that, again, the context is the Word of God. Now, there needs to be restraint upon hasty and ill-considered reactions when the Word of God is preached or taught or you read it. Have you ever heard something you didn't like? And as soon as you get out of church, well, I don't know what that preacher's talking about. That's not the Word. That's what he's talking about here. Shooting off the mouth. Now there is another application. In the same book here, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. And when we hear the word of God, folks, we should be slow to speak. Now, by the way, this also can be applied to teaching. In James chapter 3, verse 1, he says, be not many masters or not many teachers. When you are looking for a pastor of a church, what is one of the things that he should not be? You read in where it talks about the bishop and all the restrictions of the bishops. He's not to be a novice. Why? Well, because he didn't know what he's talking about. By the way, this is one of there's a great movement in churches to have Sunday school classes that are discussion groups. We don't study anything. We all just show up and I throw out a passage and I was okay, today James chapter 1 verse 17 through 26. Joe, what do you think about it? Now, Joe didn't know what it was. He didn't have studied it. And we just kind of throw off. No, we need to study the Word of God. And we need to be careful. Be slow to speak. Be submissive. And the next one really is even a greater application. Kind of carries that thought. Slow to wrath. Let's be honest. How many of you have ever been under preaching or teaching or even maybe just reading the Word on your own and it just made you mad? You just didn't like what they're saying. Come on, be honest. Some of you are asleep. You don't know what I'm talking about. All right. They're mad already. That's exactly right. I ain't going to raise my head. This wrath or deep-seated resentment. They just get upset about it. This is rebellion against the Word of God. And God's Word is taught or it's preached and it condemns the person. They say, In Galatians chapter 4, Paul says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? By the way, Let me get off a little rabbit trail here. If you go to a church and all they do at that church is tell you how good that you are, how much have they helped you? In fact, they've hurt you because they made you complacent. We want you to come to church, Mike, and feel good about yourself and be happy and smile and have joy. But there's nothing wrong with those things, but those things come when you do right. See, when the truth is preached and you obey it, then those things come. But no, there's a movement today, oh, just come and we'll all be happy, it'll be great, and we won't say anything negative about you. You all look so good today and so spiritual, and I know you're just wonderful people. You're not really, you're all wicked, just like me. Now he said, look, folks, you need to have a submissive spirit so that when the Word of God is taught, you are quick to hear. You're slow to speak. You're slow to wrath. Now, by the way, let's move on in that passage. He continues the thought in verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. All right, what happens when you hear something that convicts your heart and you get mad and you just say, ah, not me, I'm not going to do that? Are you changed in the right way? No. In fact, you become worse. Now, look, he said, God's goal is to make you a new creation, to make you like Him, to make you righteous. And when you respond to the Word of God in wrath, look, it says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When you get angry, you don't change. You don't change. So, here it is. The first thing we need, folks, if we're going to allow God's Word or have God's Word help us, is we need to have a submissive spirit. Quick to hear. Boy, I want to know what God wants to say to me. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Now, secondly, not only a submissive spirit, but verse 21a, we need to have a pure life. You know, it's possible as a believer to read God's Word every day, but you have sin hidden in your life. You never get anything. Notice, look what it says. And he says in verse 21, wherefore, there's that word again, lay apart all filthiness. This is a great phrase. Don't you like this phrase? And superfluity of naughtiness. Isn't that great? Aren't those great words? The superfluity of naughtiness. I'm preaching today on the superfluity of naughtiness. That's what some of you... He said, look, before God's Word can change you... Now, this is kind of baffling to me. We always talk about the fact that the Word of God will keep you from sin. And yet, what he's saying is, sin will keep you from properly receiving God's Word. And it's interesting here in this passage, the word put off, let me illustrate it for you. What am I doing right now? I'm putting it on. He's saying, look, the superfluity of naughtiness, the filthiness that's in your life that you've allowed to creep in, if you're going to experience the blessing of God, you've got to put it off. You've got to get rid of it. By the way, this word is found a lot in the New Testament. One time it's used in a very literal sense is Acts 7:33. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. So you see the picture. It's also used in a spiritual sense, Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, Colossians 3:8, but now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Now, keep your place here in James. Turn to 1 Peter, just over a couple pages, and chapter 2. I've already talked to you about verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. We like that verse. But notice, before you as a newborn babe can get what you need out of the Word of God, what must you do? Chapter 2, 1 Peter 2, 1. And he says, oh, by the way, let me back up to verse 25. Because look what it says. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. Okay, you've got the Word of God, the abiding Word of God. Before it can help you, what must you do? You see the parallel here, folks? Wherefore, laying aside, by the way, is the same word, all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speaking. He said, you've got to put it off, folks. The moral uncleanness, the impurity. You've got to get rid of it. If you're going to receive the Word of God and be helped. Now, this is kind of gross, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Some of your ears perked up. You said, oh, gross, we won't hear that. That word filthiness is obviously moral impurity, but the Greek writers use that word, now, forgive me for this, but to describe earwax. Now, what happens, and this is really gross, but if your ears get full of wax, you can't hear. Some of you might want to check your children. Maybe that's their problem. They're full of earwax. That's the problem. And what do you have to do? You got to clean it out. Boy, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Why? So they can hear. And what's he saying? Look, he says, some of you folks, you're filled with the filthiness. And you're so full of filthiness that you can't hear the Word of God. And before you can really hear the Word of God, you got to put it off. And by the way, notice in verse 21, wherefore lay apart, what's the next word? It's a very, very small word. Some of you jump right over it. All. All. Hey, for you to properly hear God's word and receive it, how much filthiness do you need to get rid of? Well, just the really bad stuff. Right? All of it. You know, I liken it to listening to a radio. We took my mother-in-law to the airport in Nashville. And by the way, got to eat at Demas' there in Lebanon. Whew, that's good eating, I tell you what. And what was I talking about? Oh, there we go. And I was listening to Rush Limbaugh on the radio. Of course, as you drive across the state, you know, he comes and goes. I don't have XM radio or anything. And so it started fading out. It'd get kind of staticky and I could hardly just barely hear. I think a lot of Christians are just like that. We have allowed sin to come into our lives, and when the Word of God is preached, it's like, and we can hear a thing. Now, people on the internet tonight are going to wonder what the world that was. Look, folks, he said, you got to lay all that stuff aside. Get rid of the filthiness, the abundance of evil, that superfluity of naughtiness. You got to do that, folks. You've got to have a submissive spirit, but you got to have a pure life. Now, look, believer. You say, boy, I read God's Word and nothing happens. And I hear it taught and nothing happens. And I read it and nothing happens. Well, you need to do a spiritual checkup. You need to be pure for God to speak to you, folks. And we cannot just go along with our lives and do what we want to do and expect this book to be vibrant in our lives. You say, well, you know, I'm reading it every day. Yeah, but if there's unconfessed sin, if there's things in the life, folks, you're going to get nothing but static. So we see, first of all, a submissive spirit. Number two, a pure life. And there's one more we want to cover this morning, and that's in verse 21. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, give me a synonym for that word meekness. Humble. Yeah. Not only do you have to have a submissive spirit, a pure life, but you also have to have a humble attitude. We would call that a teachable spirit, I think. I wonder if when you come to Sunday school and church, if you come with a teachable spirit. Here I am. I don't know it all. I'm not perfect. See, the person that's full of pride does not have a teachable spirit. Why? Because they know it all. There's nothing you can teach me. I know it all. And I'm good. You know? I don't need to change. That kind of spirit will never hear God speak through His Word. Folks, we need a humble spirit. God, show me my path. Show me what I am. Show me my faults and my failures so that I can change. A meek, humble spirit. And this is a great... By the way, there were three different descriptions of the Word of God in this passage. Here's the second one. The engrafted Word. That's also... You could say the implanted Word. Remember what the Word of God is? It is a seed that was planted in your heart when you read it or heard it. And the Holy Spirit of God took it and planted it in your heart. It's the engrafted, the implanted Word. And it brought forth fruit and you were saved. And he said, you need to receive that engrafted word with meekness, with humility. And notice what happens if you do. Which is able to save your souls. Now, when we think about saving our soul, we think of what event? Salvation, right? But the simple matter of fact is, the saving of our souls is an ongoing process. Saving our souls from what? Sin. All right. When you got saved... You were saved from the penalty of sin, right? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah for that. Wonderful truth. I mean, boy, you got saved. Your sins were washed away. They're cleansed by the blood of Christ. You're no longer condemned by your sin. Wonderful truth. But it doesn't end there. You were saved from your sin and the penalty of sin, but as you live your life, you should be being saved from the power of sin. That's called what? Sanctification going on in your life. Someday you're going to die, or the Lord's going to return, and you will be saved from the, this will be a wonderful day, the presence of sin. You will no longer be present in sin. Now look, What is he saying? Look, if you will approach the Word of God with a submissive spirit, a pure life, a humble attitude, what's going to happen? The engrafted Word is going to save you at salvation. It's going to continue to save you from sin in your lifetime. And hallelujah, someday it's going to totally save you and you'll have a no sin, no presence of sin whatsoever in heaven. That's the Word of God will do. But only if we have the right spirit, the right attitude. I mentioned at the beginning, or somewhere in the middle, about comparing God's Word to listening to the radio. And there's no doubt, folks, that sin hurts reception. You say, well, I've got the sin cleaned up. Do you have the humble spirit? And maybe we can compare the humble spirit to turn up the volume. You know, the radio's on, there's no static, but still can't hear anything. Well, maybe that's because you don't have the right teachable spirit. And if you get the teachable spirit, it's like turning the volume up. And, oh, wow! Well, God is speaking to me! Wow, God's Word has come alive to me! Now, in conclusion, let me ask you, folks. Is God's Word doing what it's supposed to do in your life? Is it giving you power over sin? Is it helping you to grow? Is it giving you happiness or joy? All the things we talked about last week. Is it doing those things in your life? Is it giving you victory? Okay. You said, it's not. All right. Let's think about the possible problems. Do you have a submissive spirit? Are you eager to hear the Word of God? And do you accept it as the Word of God humbly? Do you have a pure life? Boy, it's hard to have a pure life today, isn't it? I mean, hallelujah, you can't hardly watch a ball game. I mean, I don't watch commercials, so that helps. But then they got all the stupid cheerleaders. In the NFL, it's just horrendous. And you go in the store, and you walk down the street, and everywhere you go, you're just bombarded with garbage. It's so hard to be pure. But folks, look, if you want this book to speak to you, you're going to have to be pure. And then do you have a humble spirit, a teachable spirit? God, show me, teach me, lead me, help me. Do you have that spirit? Now, folks, these are the preliminaries to a proper reception of God's revelation. God has given us His book. He's revealed the truth to us right here. Here's the truth. But it won't help you. You're going to have poor reception if you're not tuned in. Okay? I would encourage you this week, this today, to examine your heart. You have a submissive spirit, pure life, a humble, teachable attitude. If you will do those things, folks, you can receive the revelation. Now, next week, Lord willing, we'll look at what you do with the revelation once you receive it. Okay? Lord, we do thank You for Your Word. Help us, I pray, to be eager to hear the Word of God. God, give us a hunger for Your Word. Give us a submissive spirit to the Word of God. Oh, Lord, help us, I pray, to be pure in our lives so that You can speak to us and that Your Word would find good soil in our lives. And then, Lord, give us a humble, teachable spirit, I pray. Lord, we need to hear from You. We need to hear from heaven. And help us, Lord, to have the right attitudes that we might be able to do that, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.